You're listening to the First in Football podcast, celebrating 150 years of Princeton Tigers football.
Welcome to the first edition of the First in Football podcast, celebrating the 150th season of Princeton football, and I guess celebrating every season of Princeton football. Alongside Jerry Price, I'm Cody Cruchel, and came up on First in Football. We're kind of racking our brains for podcast titles and anything involving the birth of college football or birthplace. Rutgers has kind of cornered the market on that. Craig Saxon did the original 11, but when football started, it was 25 on 25, so we kind of wanted to go away from that. We thought about Pawcast. Somebody does one of those. We thought about Podcast. Somebody does one of those. So racked our brains and came up with First in Football, and we'll be here every week of the 2019 season talking with Bob Sorace, an assistant coach, players, and special guests. Here we go.
So I think First in Football is a very good name for a podcast, especially in this year, the 150th anniversary of college football, and of course Princeton celebrating its role as having played in that first game against Rutgers, November 6th, 1869, and then a week later here at Princeton. And Princeton's waited to get the season started as the Ivy League gets started this week. And it's a pretty exciting time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Princeton and Butler, Saturday, 5 o'clock, community and staff day for the second straight season. The Tigers opening up their campaign, against the Butler Bulldogs out of the Pioneer Football League. And last year in Indianapolis, 50-7. This year, Butler comes in 1-2. And for the Tigers, one of the last two teams in college football to kick off their season, thanks to that 5 p.m. start.
Yeah, and I think for Princeton, Butler struggled a bit. They lost 57-10 to North Dakota State.
Everybody did.
Yeah, they lost to Taylor last week in overtime. They beat Indiana Wesleyan in overtime. They struggled against Princeton last year. I think for Princeton, what you have to do is, one, you have to look past all of that. You know, Butler's had, this is their fourth game, so they've had time to work out their issues. I assume they're at the point where they're getting personnel that they like into the spots that they like, and I think that they're probably going to come here and give a pretty good account of themselves. As for Princeton, you're coming off the year. You know, 10-0 is the first undefeated season in 54 years. You have a lot of guys back from that team, but you have key areas that you have to fill, and I think that you really have to focus on yourself for week one. See the new pieces, even the returning players who may have new roles, see who steps up, see younger players get their first opportunity. A lot of guys are going to play, and I think it's a pretty interesting week one matchup.
What are you looking for on Saturday? What are you looking for in the early part of the season with this team?
Well, obviously, if you're Princeton, you're looking at what you lost. So you lost John Lovett, who's two-time Bushnell Cup winning quarterback, but you say, okay, well, you lost your two-time Bushnell winning quarterback, but the guy in the middle was also your quarterback. So the last three offensive players of the year in the league were all Princeton quarterbacks, and he's now gone. So you have all these guys who have been competing all summer to take over his spot, and we'll see who plays and who emerges from that group. And then you have the wide receivers. You have Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson, who have both gone to the NFL. And so now you have a whole new group of receivers coming in. Those two guys between them had 44 career touchdown receptions. They rank first and third all time at Princeton in touchdown receptions. Between Lovett and Kanoff, they've thrown 1,328 of the last 1,414 passes that Princeton has thrown. That's a lot of experience that's not here anymore. So those are the key areas on offense. And then on defense, obviously, a lot returns on the defensive line, a lot returns in the secondary. It's the two leading tacklers at linebacker, Tom Johnson and Mark Fassati, both first-team All-Ivy guys who graduated. But there's so many guys, especially sophomores from that number one ranked recruiting class of 2 years ago, that are going to get a chance to play. And I'm really excited to see the young guys play.
Just to recap, in case you forgot, 10-0 last year, the first undefeated season since 1964. Princeton, one of two undefeated teams in the country at the FCS level. They finished ranked in the top 10 in both the coaches' poll and media poll. Nation's top offense, nation's fourth-ranked defense. You almost forget how good that defense was, but that was a defense that gave up just 13 points per game. 47 points a game, that was an Ivy League record. 50-plus points in half of their games. They outscored their opponents by an average of 34 points per game. Second least penalized team in the country. Quarterbacks, 24 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, culminated in that undefeated 10-0 season and the outright Ivy League title.
And that's a lot to build on if you look at the history of...
No pressure.
If you look at the history of Princeton football, and obviously history tells you a little bit, doesn't tell you a lot when you go back this far, but since 1900 you have 8 undefeated Princeton teams. The year after the unbeaten season, Princeton averaged less than two losses per year. Only once, though, did Princeton have back-to-back unbeaten seasons, 1950 and 51. What does any of that mean in 2019? It doesn't really mean anything. It's about the guys who go out and play. And I think one thing I'm a bit hesitant to do is focus too much on what happened last year. It's its own entity, and it was such a dream season. But this year is another opportunity, and it's a chance for guys who made big contributions there to have even greater roles this year, and new guys to step in. Princeton returning four starters on offense, eight on defense.
Princeton taking on Butler this Saturday, 5 p.m. Big show coming up today. First off, Jerry Price with the head coach of the Tigers, Bob Cerace. And then we'll sit down with the newly appointed offensive coordinator, Andy Orrick, and catch up with senior defensive lineman, senior defensive captain, Jake Strain. But first, here's Jerry with Tigers head coach, Bob Cerace.
Back here on the First in Football podcast, Jerry Price, now joined by the Charles W. Caldwell Jr. head coach of football at Princeton University, Bob Cerace. Coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry.
So a little different this year as Craig Saxon no longer with us and no longer he's not dead, but he's no longer doing the podcast. He moved on to a different career. So I'll be taking over talking to you each week. And I know you had a lot of good things to say about Craig when you guys did your farewell podcast. But just one last time to talk about Craig and what he brought to the program and how it's all a little bit different now without him here because he did so much and did it so flawlessly.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, Princeton, you build so many relationships. And fortunately, I've known you since I got here. And even when I was a player, we go back over 30 years with that. But you work with people so closely. And for 10 years, 9 years, I guess, you know, Craig and I on a weekly basis did that. And, you know, we don't have a Sixers thing going, so we're going to have to figure something out because the Giants don't appear to be playoff bound. And
I could get on the Sixers bandwagon. I grew up a Knicks fan. It's a very hard team to root for these days, although Steve Mills and Craig Robinson, the Princeton connection, make it a little easier. Sixers seem like a fun team. We can have that in common. Do not try to get me to root for the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
So let's talk Princeton football here. The opener comes up on Saturday against Butler, a 5 o'clock kickoff on Powers Field at Princeton Stadium. And the first question, I guess, you're playing a team that's playing its fourth game. You're playing your first game. What is the significance of that? What's the advantage or disadvantage?
Yeah, well, I think the significance is we have done a really good job the past number of years, you know, being upfront and honest with our guys. This is what it is. We don't control it. We are going to be a few games behind our opponents. So every practice in camp is magnified. And how we utilize our time, our meetings, our lifts, our practices is just a heightened sense of importance. And our guys have done a really good job understanding that and taking advantage of the things we control. And if we've done a good job, hopefully it'll show on Saturday night.
So one of the advantages you have is you've seen them on tape three times. They haven't seen you. One of the disadvantages that you have is they've had an opportunity to sort of work through some of their early season issues where you have not. Is there any value to any of that?
Yeah, I think there is, especially if you haven't played the team previously. That information advantage becomes more. You know, we played them last year. They have a good sense of what we are, the tempo we are on offense, the style things we do on defense. Every year brings some new things, but that advantage is lessened in terms of that. And when you have a team with a little more inexperience like ours, you got to work the mistakes at. And they graduated a lot of guys as well, and they've gone through the correcting of mistakes on video, and we haven't done that. So we've had to really push our practices to simulate game-like conditions.
So you had the number one recruiting class in the FCS 2 years ago, and now you have more sophomores on your depth chart than any other class. There's 19 sophomores listed on this week's Two Deep, five freshmen. So nearly as many freshmen and sophomores, there's 24 of them, as the upperclassmen, 29. That's a good sign because you have young talent coming into the program. But for a lot of these kids, it's going to be their first time actually playing meaningful minutes. What do you look for out of them?
Yeah, just to play, to go out there. They're ready. They're prepared. They practice. We put them through a lot of situations, and you try to cover everything. The 2 minute, drills, the 4 minute drills, the short yardage, the goal line, the red zone. We put them through everything. We covered it all on video, and now, you know, though everybody's got butterflies, you know, it's part of playing any sport that you go out there. If you didn't, it wouldn't be a competitive sport. But once that eases into just playing football, go out there and have fun. Run to the football, pursue the football, tackle, you know, rely on your fundamentals.
So the nature of college sports and college football is that players graduate. obviously year after year you roll your roster over a bit. This year the big graduation loss is obviously the two-time Bushnell Cup winner at quarterback John Lovett, and then the two receivers Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson, and then on the other side of the ball the two leading tacklers, both first-team All-Ivy League linebackers Tom Johnson and Mark Fassati. Minus those five guys, you need players to step up. However, you do have areas where you have considerable strength and considerable experience. And one of them is running back with Colin Edie, Ryan Quigley. Trey Gray is able to step in. These are guys that you can rely on, guys who averaged 7 yards a carry each last year. Also, I think the defensive line and also the defensive backfield. So the balance that you have of areas that you really need to integrate new people versus the places you're experienced sort of has been the challenge, I would think, of camp.
Yeah, and that's the fun part of coaching. And, you know, part of you is an educator and a teacher, and you got a new class every year. You got some guys that were in that class, and they can set the culture and the expectations and standards. And the other guys, they're learning, and they start at the 100 or maybe 200 level, and you have to get them up to the 400 level by the time you open up. And I love how accountable and how hardworking our guys have been. I've had to have more patience, and we've gone through more mistakes technically than maybe we had a year ago, and that's understandable. And we're getting those taught and corrected, and hopefully as we go through 60 minutes of football on Saturday night, we've done a good job of that.
You have three captains this year, tight end Graham Adamidis, defensive lineman Jake Strain, linebacker John Orr. Talk a little bit about their leadership and what they brought so far through camp.
Yeah, they've been great. And, you know, you go through camp as a coach, and they make it so easy because the locker room, the culture, the standards, the work ethic. And if it ever just goes down a notch, I hear Jake Strain getting on the guys, we got to run to the football, or, you know, Johnny Orr and Graham doing the same type things that, you know, talking about how precise we have to be, because those guys have been significant players over their 4 and 5 years here at Princeton, and they know what it takes to be successful against the opponents we play.
So last question before we let you go on week one of our weekly podcast is about the 150th anniversary of college football. Obviously, the first game was Princeton-Rutgers, November 6th, 1869. It's easy to look at the 150th stuff and the game at Yankee Stadium and all the things that go into the 150th and sort of lose track of the idea that, you know, it's just a round number. So like the 149th season, the 151st season, they're all their own individual seasons. You want to focus on the 10 games that you have to play this year, but still to be part of something that's a little bit bigger than just Princeton football season has to be pretty appealing to you and to the team.
Yeah, since I've got here, even as a player, there was such great respect for what Princeton football and the players who came before me. And it's not just the players, it's the coaches, it's the support staff, everybody that has helped the program be what it is, and the significance of this program throughout that history. And I try every year to make that meaningful without being overbearing and nagging with it, in terms of they need to respect those things and they need to understand those things. We have smart kids. A lot of them are history majors, and understanding that history with that. And these guys get it. They understand that there's going to be a lot of extra eyes on us because of we were part of the start of this great game. And, you know, how we respect this game is going to be critical.
Coach, good luck this Saturday against Butler. Kickoff at 5 o'clock at home on Powers Field at Princeton Stadium, and we'll be back each Wednesday throughout the course of the season.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jerry.
For head coach Bob Srace, I'm Jerry Price. You're listening to the First in Football podcast.
Back here on the First in Football podcast, joined by our first assistant coaching guest of the season, the Tigers' longtime assistant but first-year offensive coordinator, Andy Orrick. And Andy, first off, welcome. I know it's been kind of a whirlwind few months. February, you get promoted to offensive coordinator when Sean Gleason leaves to accept that same position out at Oklahoma State. And then over the summer, you become a dad for the first time. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it has been a whirlwind. This summer has been very, very packed, to say the least. Just the one goal was to keep her alive, and I made it through the summer that. So off to a good start.
Take us through that conversation. Let's go back to February. Coach Gleason lets you guys know he's leaving, taking a job in the Big 12 as an offensive coordinator. Not a bad step up for him. How did that conversation go with you and Coach Srace? You've come here, you've been promoted a couple of times and taken on additional responsibility, but what was that conversation like when you found out you were the new OC?
Well, I knew Sean was going to, you know, move up the chain. So Coach Trace and I had had conversations just about, if that happened. And I made it very clear to him, like, I want to be the offense coordinator. So I went about my business, making sure that if that were to happen, it would be a very easy decision for him. As soon as Sean called me to tell me he was leaving, the next phone call I got was from Bob saying, all right, you're the OC, let's get it going. So it was, very quick conversation, it was about getting to work.
Now that you have 6 or 7 months wearing that offensive coordinator hat, is there one part of that job that maybe you didn't expect or anticipate?
Just from a practice preparation standpoint, the offense coordinator has a lot more on his plate. So it's not necessarily harder. It's just more time is being eaten up for that, I should say.
Let's talk about some of the guys on the field. That quarterback position, you go from Chad Knopf, a Bushnell Cup winner, now in a practice squad, to John Lovett, Bushnell Cup winner, now in the NFL, unfortunately on injured reserve for the season with the Chiefs. But those are some big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. I mean, those two guys were two of the best guys to put on the orange and black and play the quarterback position. And they were really fun guys to have as quarterback when you're an offensive line coach because of what they could do. Big shoes to fill, but even the entire quarterback room has always been a competitive place. And you had a whole group that's been kind of waiting in the wings to get their shot at the job. So, I mean, all those guys have done a great job this camp.
And this is a program where you never just rely on one quarterback. And I know in that quarterback room, you have guys who had a lot of experience, put up some nice stats in limited duty last year. Sort of give me the breakdown of the guys in the quarterback room, because I have to imagine we're going to see some guys in different roles.
Yeah, Kevin Davidson is a senior who, started for us versus Brown and had a lot of success that game. And he's been a guy who's been sitting behind those two quarterbacks waiting for his opportunity and has done a really good job so far in spring ball and now in training camp, just showing that he's ready for an expanded role. And Zach Keller is the other senior who brings a different dimension with his ability to run the football. Hopefully we can find ways to utilize him. And then you have Cole Smith, who's going to be a junior, who has had a really good camp and has a wide range of skill set that's going to allow him to help us out in a lot of different ways. And then you get to Brevin White, who did an unbelievable job down on scout team last year and flashes all this talent, arm talent, and excited to see all these guys. Even at this point, they're all competing because they know that's a position where the best guy is going to play, but it doesn't have to be a settled thing until we're ready to settle it.
You look at what you lost from last year, and that's what a lot of the focus is on. You have one of the best quarterbacks in Ivy League history, two of the best receivers in program history, an all-conference running back in Charlie Volker, and a lot of times you're putting guys into that position where you haven't seen them with game reps, but you talked about it a little bit. Kevin Davidson starts a game, nearly 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then the running back position. Charlie Volker, tough to replace, but Colin Edian is one start last year, 3 long touchdowns against Yale, over 250 yards. Does that make you feel a little bit better knowing that the guys that are filling these big shoes have those game reps and have been successful?
Absolutely. I think last season helped all position groups on offense because of some of the games we were in with the scores where they were. You had a lot of guys who got a lot of reps that maybe wouldn't have in closer games. And, their first time going out there has already happened. It's not going to be Saturday. And then the running back position, those guys have all kind of rotated through over the years. So, you got Colin Edie, Ryan Quigley, Trey Gray, who we saw a lot of last year, all three of them. So it's not, there's no really unknowns with that position for sure.
Did that help last year? And I'm assuming the answer is yes. When you guys do have those lopsided scores, now you have more players that have the game reps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's guys who will be starting for the first time Saturday, and it won't be their first time stepping on the field because they've already played a lot of reps, throughout those games last year.
I want to sort of go position group by position group. The wide receiver position, I guess that's going to be the most glaring spot where there's turnover, because you look at the guys that are no longer on the roster, Jesper Horsted, Steven Carlson, 6'4", 6'5", big numbers, NFL caliber players, Tiger Besh, not with the team this year. And then you look at the guys that are left, it's a very different makeup, but I know you guys are still pretty happy, and Coach Saray is still pretty happy with some of the players that are there, and we've seen that with this program where I think heading into 2 years ago, Steven Carlson had 3 career catches, and he becomes a 1,000-yard receiver. So just because the numbers aren't there, sort of walk us through what you have in that receiver room.
Yeah, Andrew Griffin has been a guy who's been kind of waiting his turn to play because of what he had in front of him for the last 3 years, and he's going to be a senior, and he had a great spring. And
caught his first pass in his home state at
exactly,
Butler last
yes,
year.
Yes, yes, and had a great spring, has had a great training camp, and you know, was really taking the leadership role in that room. And then you had a couple guys who were freshmen last year. Dylan Classy got in a number of games last year as a freshman. And Andre Yoshivas, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right.
I was going to ask you.
Who was doing a lot of great things last year on scout team. And in the spring, you know, was a little banged up. He also had track going on, so we didn't really get to see his full ability during spring ball.
He's an Ivy track champion?
I believe so, yes. And this camp, he's been outstanding. And then the guy I can't forget is Jacob Bermelin, who's very dynamic and he's fast and he's quick. And he's a guy we're going to be able to unleash, you know, in the slot there for sure.
Tight end position, Graham Adamitis, 10 catches last year, but still first team all Ivy League, which says something about how he's developed as a blocker and somebody that doesn't need to have the football in his hands to make an impact. But with the turnover on offense, does his role shift a little bit this year?
Absolutely. He's a very talented receiver. So, you know, we got to, you know, Coach Race talks about, you know, it's not necessarily the plays, it's the players. Well, Graham is one of those players that we have to, you know, intentionally try to get the ball to because he is really talented, you know, receiver if we can get the ball to him. But he is a great blocker, and it's a rare thing when you got a guy who has both of those things going for him. Tight ends, I mean, even in the NFL, you see it, some of these guys who – they're all pros, but they don't really block that well. So it's great to have Graham. He can stay in there and block, but we gotta intentionally try to give him the ball because he's one of those guys that's a player that needs to touch the ball.
On the offensive line, you lose 3 starters, 2 of them first-team all-conference, Georgia Tia, and then Riley Radosevich out with an injury this year. Couple of starters back. How does the offensive line shape up in camp?
I've been really happy with how they've worked. Henry Bird started when Riley went down. Versus Yale, and did a really good job. I'm expecting big things from him. And Brent Holder has just continued to develop after starting all 10 games last year. And Alex Dieters at center is playing his best football right now, his best football for sure. You know, there's some guys who are trying to, you know, work their way up into the starting roles, but Nico Ivanisevic, another one I'm hoping I'm pronouncing correctly. I believe that's correct.
So it's funny because he would say Ivanisevic, and then his older brother would say Ivanisevic. So we've just been stuck in the middle the last couple of years.
Yes. I usually ask like one time a month just to make sure I continue to say it right. But he's had a good spring, good training camp, and he's a guy who played a lot of snaps for us last year. So, you know, he's not going to flinch when we get to game day. And the guy who's done a really good job, who's kind of moved his way up in the starting role at this point, is David Hoffman, who was playing tackle last year and moved him inside. And he's had a really good training camp and just feels that looks at home. And if you ask him, he's enjoying playing inside as opposed to out on the edge there.
I know you focus on the offense, but last year with this offense setting all the records that they did and the highest scoring offense in Ivy League history, people sort of overlook the defense, and this was one of the best defensive units in the country, a top 10 defense across the board. You focus on the offense, but what's your scouting report on the Princeton defense? Doesn't seem like a fun group to go up against if you were an opposing offensive coordinator.
Yeah, definitely not a fun group to go against if you're an opposing offensive coordinator. They did a great job in training camp, you know, creating turnovers, and I know that's a big emphasis for them. So,
that they have a bell now?
Yeah, they have a bell, and you know, we try to keep track how many days without a bell offensively. Great, you know, the defensive line, pass rushing, it's a great challenge for my offensive line all throughout training camp trying to block those guys, some really great pass rushers.
And then final question, let's talk about your opponent this weekend. Butler, a team that comes in with a couple of losses, lopsided loss in their opener against the top team in North Dakota State, and then I think probably kind of a surprising result against an NAI school in Taylor this weekend. Not sure how much film you've had a chance to watch against on Butler, but you know, what do you see when you look at their offense? What type of opponent are you expecting on Saturday?
It's nice that we played them last year because you got a better feel for them. Whereas the previous year, we didn't really know what we were getting. They're a very aggressive defense. You know, some defenses look at, you know, pressuring or blitzing as more of a way to, you know, stop the pass and get the ball out quick. Whereas you can tell that for them, it's about stopping the run, creating havoc inside, and, you know, trying to get your guys up front to just cut guys free and they can get TFLs. So it's very aggressive, you know, based off of what we saw last year from them and the little I saw of their last game that was actually on Facebook Live and I checked out a little bit. And I'd expect the same from them, you know, Saturday.
Coach, good luck Saturday. Thanks for being our first guest.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here, Cody.
It's Princeton's new offensive coordinator, Andrew Orrick. When we get back, we'll sit down with Tigers senior defensive lineman, senior captain Jake Strain. This is the First in Football podcast. Final segment here on the First in Football podcast, talking with Tigers senior captain, senior defensive lineman Jake Strain. And Jake, finally game week, Princeton and Butler this Saturday, and we were just talking about it off air. It's only been a couple of weeks that college football has been rolling, but it's got to be tough sitting at home watching those games and, you know, not getting to hit anybody that's not wearing orange and black.
Right, yeah, and I said it's felt like an eternity. You know, you're watching these games and you see all these guys making great plays and they're out there having so much fun. And, you know, we're having fun, but we're having fun against each other. It's a little different. So we're ready to go, and we've been ready to go.
Let's go back, I guess, about a month. Ivy League Media Day up in Bristol on the campus of ESPN. You, Graham Adamidis, Coach Cerase. Tell us about that experience.
That was a great experience. That was something that was a little unexpected for us. You know, we heard very little about it. We kind of went up there, and we knew that we were doing some interviews, that kind of stuff. But getting up there and seeing those studios and, you know, meeting people at ESPN and doing all the things that you would do if you played for the Eagles or the Jets or the Browns, I mean, it was perhaps not that big, but it was a pretty big production, and it was really cool to get that exposure for our league, for our team, just get it out there that, you know, we're playing and we're serious.
Let's go back 2 years, that season opener 2017 against San Diego. You win the starting defensive tackle job, first career start. Was that your first career start?
Yes, it was, yeah.
First career start, go down with an injury, miss the rest of that season. It seemed like a lot of guys on the defensive side of the football missed some time with injuries that season. So I have to imagine camp this year, when you have a year back under your belt, is a little bit different than camp last year when you're coming off missing the season with an injury.
Right, yeah. I think the difference this year, I mean, just confidence. And not that I was necessarily lacking that last year. I think just an improved level this year. I feel great, and knowing what I can do and having seen myself do it for a whole season and getting better every week, I'm really excited to see what I can do for my team, for, you know, Princeton in general. I'm really excited about it.
You're penciled into that defensive tackle spot. Let's talk about the guys on either side of you. Samuel Wright, likely, and then Joey DeMarco. So some consistency, three starters back on the defensive line. Talk about those two guys.
Those two guys are freaks. Sam Wright has this unbelievable bend. He's an amazing athlete. He's been giving our guys a lot of problems, and I'm sure he's going to give other opponents a lot of problems too. And, you know, Joey's his length, he's 6 foot, whatever. He's got to be 6'10", you know, he's 6'5", whatever he is, but he's
the wingspan.
Right, yeah. He uses his length so well, and they're both so fast that they make me look, you know, I've been called somewhat athletic, but I'm not sure if that's even true at this point.
Is it a different dynamic? You lose and graduate two first-team all-conference linebackers in the interior and Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson. Is it a different dynamic on that side of the football this year without those two guys who you always knew they were out there?
Right, you know, and it's always different. Every team, every year is going to be different. I think the one consistency we have is a Johnson. Having James Johnson, he's my roommate, and I've known him for years. Having him back there, you know, Tom's gone, but having another Johnson back there feels great. And I know he's back there, and then whoever's playing that will spot and whoever's helping him out, they're going to be doing a great job. And even in practice, you're feeling back there, and it's not much has changed.
I haven't had a ton of interaction with James. I had a little bit more with his older brother, Tom. Can you tell, I mean, they look the same, but can you tell personality-wise that they're brothers?
You can. There are some big differences, though. I mean, you we're talking the other day, and we're talking about how, you know, kind of messing with Tom and getting him excited was fun because he's always giving it back, where James is a little more level-headed, and, you know, if you get him upset, you actually feel bad because he's actually a really great guy, where not that Tom's not a great guy, but he'll give it back just as much, where James is a little more level-headed.
You're on the defensive side of the football, so you obviously get to see the Princeton offense every day in practice, and a lot's been made about this team where You don't have John Lovett. You don't have Jesper Horsted or Steven Carlson or Charlie Volker. There's four of the best to play their positions in program history. Give us the scouting report on the offense. You get to go up against them in practice.
So for me, I mean, on the inside, it's a lot of the same. Seeing Alex Dieters every day at center, and he's getting better and better, even since, you know, his sophomore year, he's been getting better every week. On either side with Nico and Hoff, you know, they're both big, formidable offensive linemen, and they're tough to get around. So, I mean, those are three guys I'm really seeing, but the tackle spots, both very experienced. I mean, as far as the inside goes, who I'm seeing every day, it's a lot of the same, and they're working hard, and it's a challenge against those guys. And, you know, on the outsides, you got some burners and Andre, and Griff's an absolute worker who's getting open and consistent, and then you have Davidson with the gun, and, you know, a lot of those guys back there, they're all so talented, and they're giving us a lot of run for our money out there.
Feel like last year we didn't talk a lot about the offensive line, which is a good thing. It's one of those things where if you're doing your job, no one's paying attention to you. Alex Dieters, second year as a starting center, so some consistency back there. You talked about it, going up against him in practice. What's the best part of his game? What makes him such a good offensive lineman?
You know, he's smart. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. So he's going to have good feet. He's fast. He's quick. And we've always had a battle, you know. It's been me and him, and it's back and forth. Some weeks he's got my number. Sometimes, you know, he can't stop me. But it's always been an improvement for both of our ends. You know, he finds a way to beat whatever I'm doing, and I got to change my strategy up. So I think he's a smart guy.
Let's step off the field for a second. What's your major? You're a senior. What's
I'm
your major?
A chemical and biological engineer.
And what's the goal?
The goal right now, I'm kind of in the job hunt myself. It's kind of a little passive as the season picks up, but, you know, I really love the energy industry. Renewables are something that I've always looked into. As of now, my thesis is actually kind of a left turn from that, doing some tissue culture stuff and some engineering along there. But, you know, kind of a big variety right now.
And I'm told that you've also taken on the responsibility of being the team DJ, picking the playlist for practice. How'd you wrangle that job?
It was more or less given to me. You know, we had this playlist for years, and it kind of got very stale. You'd forget that it was on for a while. I think as a captain, they said, do what you got to do. And I tried dishing out to other people and said, add to it if you want. Some guys have, but, you know, I added the majority, hoping that people would follow. And so far, it's been mostly me.
We're recording this on Monday, so I know you're just getting into preparation for Butler early in the season. But from what you've seen on film, give us the scouting report on Butler.
Butler, I mean, the one thing we're all saying is that they're very disciplined. You know, they're going to be doing what they do well. Up front, I think we match up pretty well against those guys, and I think they're going to have a good game plan for us. And I think we're going to have to really figure out who we are as a defense. I think this is going to be a good chance for us to kind of get after it and just let it go. I think we've had a long time here, and we're ready to see an opponent.
Jake, good catching up with you. Looking forward to finally seeing you guys out on the field this Saturday.
Same here. Thank you.
That's Tigers senior defensive lineman Jake Strain. Thanks to our other guests, head coach Bob Sorace and the new Tigers offensive coordinator Andy Orick. This has been the First in Football podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.